This is an ABC podcast.
Roots and Shoots Gardening on 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
Oh, a little bit trigger happy there. Just a couple of newsy things to get out of the way. To all of you who've texted in and said what a great show it's been today, you need to give your thanks to Olivia Holmes, who produced the whole thing while I was on afternoon. So it is absolutely thanks to her talent as a journalist and a producer that it was such an interesting show. I loved it too. I was just her meat puppet. She put, no, I'm not going to go any further with that. And Tim and Atwell, you texted in. Good morning, guys. I'm driving off Roe Highway towards Murdoch and sort of off the coast. It appears down near Fremantle is a huge amount of smoke. I'm not sure what it is, but it looks quite ominous. Liv's had a look at the Emergency WA website and says it looks like there's a burn-off in that area in Jandakot by the city of Coburn. Now it's time for this lady. Hello.
Hello, Amber.
Oh, it's so good to see you. And I just said to Liv that just the sight of you, I have a Pavlovian response. My brain powers down. It's like that Windows noise. I'm down.
Well, that's good.
Little spinning wheel.
Yep, and then I just fire you back up again.
That's right. And I'm your meat puppet as well. I'm just here to answer the calls. How's your week been?
Fantastic. Beautiful weather.
How'd you go in the storm? We haven't seen each other.
I meant to bring in a big box of avocados. Lost the top of my avocado tree.
Oh.
I'm always really on tenterhooks with my 40-metre-high lemon-scented gum that covers three houses.
I always go out there.
Yeah, only lost two tiny little branches. Wasn't too bad. The liquid amber out the front lost a big branch but didn't drop on anything. Actually not too bad at all.
Yeah.
But we didn't get a lot of rain. But I did go down to the beach.
Same.
Oh, wasn't it amazing?
It was extraordinary. Yeah. I sat in the car Sunday and Coxie morning. Got out and then I filmed him because Coxie's very popular on my social media.
Oh.
I have a private account, I hate to
Right.
But anyway, so I'm filming him as he's leaning into the wind with the ocean behind him and I started singing, Coxie in the storm. He's such a lovely bloke.
Do you know, it was surprising how many people were down at the beach.
Yeah, a lot of people.
My God, it was rough out there. I've got friends that live down at Falcon and they're right across from the ocean. They sent me pictures of
kite surfing.
These guys were so high up in the air that almost needed an oxygen tank. Like, that's insanity.
Isn't that a death wish?
Well,
remind people that 1300 221 0025 is the number. You're being a little slow off the mark. Do give us a call. This is Roots and Shoots. In spite of us talking about anything.
That's not to do with gardening.
Plants.
Yes. Oh, do you know what I was thinking? You know how with all the sports stuff, it's always very earnest, isn't it? Like, it's like they read it out like it's a huge battle and this war that's been going on.
Shh, that special secret.
I know.
Yes.
It's just a football game. But what we should do is get them to call the pigeon race.
Oh, that would be so
What do you
great.
Reckon?
Oh, let's, yeah.
Let's
yeah.
do it. I think it is fantastic that people are into pigeon racing again.
That's Gary. Gary is Katrina's dad.
Oh, is that Katrina's dad?
Katrina's dad, yeah. Every week we get a...
Yeah, I know. I love it.
And also Katrina, mother of Andrea, who the audience named. So we're invested. We've got skin in the pigeon game.
Skin along that feather line.
We've got feathers in the Saturday brekkie pigeon game.
Let's see who we'll get that will do that. We need someone with a sense of humour.
Oh, we'll find someone. I reckon Mitch Turner might be our guy.
I reckon Mitch would be up for it for sure.
Gorgeous Mitch. 1300 221 0025 is the number to ask Sabrina a question.
Well, you know, while we're waiting for people to ring us, I don't know why they're not. Come on. Oh, no, here we come. It's the sustainable up there in the northern side, Port Hedland. They're having their beautiful big sustainable living day today.
Oh, nice.
They've got Costa. They've got Johnny Frogman. They've got Andrea Whiteley. And they're live streaming it.
I spoke to Costa yesterday and
Did
he was
you?
In the toilets at the airport And there was one announcer. It's very echoey. Because the campaign is Australia looks better in a full bush. And I said to him, what do you think it is about you, apart from your love of gardening?
And your full bush.
Yeah, and that they chose you for this campaign. And he started soliloquising about something else. And I said, it's your beard. For God's sake.
He's hairy all over.
Well, how do you know?
Well, I won't tell you. It wasn't planned, what I can tell you.
There are fewer celebrity gardeners than there are celebrity chefs. Oh, I heard you, Warren. How are you going? Getting a bit cross there.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to run out of reception.
Okay. Go, Warren. Go, Warren. Go, go, go.
I just planted 3 hibiscus from pots just a little while ago.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how long I should leave them before I trim the bottom branches off.
I would leave it until September. So you can do it this year, but not until September, Warren.
Okay, no worries.
Okay, good.
Good luck with it, Warren. Thank you.
We got you before you fell out of range.
We did. Cheryl is in Swan Valley. Hi, Cheryl.
Oh, hi, Amber and Sabrina. We've got a groundwater forum coming up at Caversham Memorial Hall.
Yeah.
On the 19th of June. So I thought your listeners might be interested, and I know you, Sabrina, have been following the rising groundwater issue with interest.
Yeah.
So we're very lucky. We've secured Professor Sally Thompson from UWA. She's going to be the keynote speaker, and she recently was awarded an international medal, the Henry Darcy Medal for Excellence in Hydrology, which was voted by international peers. So we're really looking forward to hearing Sally speak. She has the ability to condense quite difficult to understand information in a way that, you know, the layman can understand.
So
a bit of a coup there.
And that's awesome.
Sally will be joined. Yeah, so local landowners who are affected by rising groundwater along the flank of the new urban, several of those, including my husband and I, will be talking with data and photographic evidence to show what can happen when drainage design goes wrong.
Yep.
And really, the part of the purpose of this is to alert the people I fondly call the Northerners. These are the people along the northern edge of the growth corridor, which is still being developed from Brabham up through Henley Brook. North Ellen Brook is in the news lately. To arm them with some ideas about what they need to do to prepare themselves.
Yeah. Cheryl, just let me cut you short there. Just let me cut you short. When and where?
Okay, it is on June the 19th, which is a Friday. Check-in is 8:30, but you do need to register. It's a free event. Can I give you the registration number?
Yes.
0432 410 074. And the important thing is that the venue is now Caversham Memorial Hall. We've had to upgrade from the smaller venue that was initially booked because there's been so much interest. So it's Caversham Memorial Hall.
Groundwater Forum in Caversham. Cheryl from Swan Valley, thank you so much for letting us know about that. If you'd like to get along to that, register by calling 0432 410 074. That was Cheryl talking about that there. Roger is in Subiaco. Hi, Roger.
Hi, good morning, ladies.
Morning, now, Roger.
I was on the Reddit platform last night, and through a random set of circumstances, I went down a rabbit hole and found a plant called the Thai perennial coriander. It looks nothing like the normal coriander, and
I reckon that's a Thai perennial basil, Roger. The problem with those websites is that people just write in, and there is not a perennial coriander, but there is definitely a perennial Thai basil. And
I found a couple, sorry, can I just interrupt?
Yes.
I found a couple of separate references to it.
Yep.
And at least one of them didn't look anything like a Wikipedia style community thing. But
yep.
Anyway. In fact, there was even a company that sells seeds for it, but that doesn't make it legitimate, I suppose.
No.
It?
The other thing is some basils, some of the annual herbs and spices and plants are actually biennial, like they will last a second year. It
right.
doesn't mean to say that you will have them for 5 or 6 years. I have not seen perennial coriander for sale here, but we've had Jonathan text in from Darwin, who said there's definitely a Thai basil. It looks like a flat leaf weed, but tastes exactly
Thai
like
perennial coriander.
Tastes exactly like coriander. So I don't know if it's a true coriander. Now, if you can get it up at Darwin, I'm presuming it will be a tropical plant. It may not actually be a true coriander. But are you wondering if you can get it here?
Oh, well, and also if it will grow here, and sounding like if it's Darwin, it likes heat and humidity,
yeah.
So probably not.
Yeah, which is why a lot of the... So anything like that will need really high humidity to do well, Roger.
Yeah.
And sometimes anything that's like that, it usually dies off in winter, which is why the basil dies off in winter here in Perth. But up in Darwin, you will have that basil will just go on for years.
Yeah.
But you could give it... I always say to people, give it a crack. But you'd have to order it online by seed, I would say.
Right.
Yep.
Thanks, Roger.
Is there a truth... Thank
yeah.
you.
Oh. Is there a true...
Is there an actual slow bolt coriander?
Yes, there definitely is. Yep.
Right.
And you can get that from Australian seed suppliers and they sell it in you buy the seed.
Nice.
Right.
Yep.
Slow bolt coriander.
Is that the name of the company?
No.
Is that the name of the company?
No, there are a few seed companies in Australia that sell the slow bolt coriander.
So you'll need to Google that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Roger. Thanks for calling
in
and good luck with that. Got a couple of lines free, 1300 221025 for Roots and Shoots, Sabrina Hahn. Mitch Turner's people have been in touch. And they're going to be in touch with Mitch to see if he's interested and what our fee might be.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've got a fee. Can we afford Mitch Turner?
I know that Mitch is a very... very philanthropic.
He's very philanthropic.
Young man.
We want him to call a pigeon race.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So we
not with as much earnestness as they do a football game. Perhaps we could feather it a little bit.
But less excited, perhaps.
Yeah, no, the excitement's okay.
Oh, the excitement's okay.
Just not excitement with a touch of dread, which is how football's always sort of broadcast.
Okay, there you go. He's definitely the man for the job, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Abby is in Northampton. Abby, what's your question for Sab?
Hey, Sab, how are you going? I seem to have a never-ending problem with mealybug, citrus leaf miner, and I seem to be treating it all the time. So when I was out there, I'm thinking, are the ants spreading this? But I do remember you saying to me that I should be spreading sulfur and scratching it into the soil, because when you're always watering with bore water, it can stop the uptake of the nutrients like iron and manganese.
Trace elements, yeah. So what the reason? Well, the reason that works is if you've got alkaline water, it drops the alkalinity.
Okay.
So now, if you're plagued with pests a lot and you constantly spray, when you spray, you actually kill all the predatory insects that are going for the scale and the mealybug and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So my advice for you is to actually get predatory bugs to eat the bad bugs. Now, okay. There's two main websites that sell bugs to eat bugs, and you type in which bugs it is you want to eradicate or drop the population down as much as possible. They will tell you what the predatory insect is for that particular pest that you have in your garden. And you are correct, Abby. Ants move scale and mealybug around for new feeding grounds because they take the sweet, sticky exudation out of the
vocabulary.
And do you think that I should spread sulfur just to eliminate the problem of, because it's ball water constantly.
Right. Oh, okay. You need to, number one, you on a property? You get that ball water tested to find out not just the pH but everything else in it, because it may be salt, could be all sorts of things. So get your bore water tested. Buy one of those little home gardener pH soil testing kits. You're on a farm. They do testing. Yeah, you get an agronomist to do it.
Yeah.
So first of all, go armed with knowledge, and then you can actually find the right solution to the problem.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Thanks,
Abby. Okay, thanks, Abby.
Due to Stormageddon last week, the Kings Park plant sale was cancelled. We have Chris Olney, who is president of the Friends of Kings Park, on the show. Hello, Chris. What can you tell us?
Oh, good morning, girls. I'm feeling much better today than I was last Saturday.
Yes, I bet you would have been
stressful.
A little bit concerned. Yeah.
A tough decision because it was light, sunniest Saturday morning.
Yes.
So we had to cancel it on the morning because all our lovely volunteers get the plant sale ready. You know, all the plants are moved from the nursery to the Pilgala family area, and that's the work on Saturday. Sunday morning we opened for the sale, so had to make an early call, and I was so relieved to wake up on Sunday morning and it was stormy.
Yes. Wow, yeah, I know.
You did the right thing.
You did do the right thing.
Yeah, the good news is that we are having we've transferred it to this Sunday, which is looking much better. Yeah.
Is anyone camping out yet? Got anyone in the queue yet? Be Christine Leighton out there.
Yeah, she'll be out there.
It'll be tomorrow.
And when I was there last year.
She's always one of the first
When I was there last year, you had a Geraldton wax that had been bred especially for
the white diamonds one. Yes.
Absolute stunning. We've got more of those.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
We've got
more of those again. We've got, I think the people who camp out earlier are sort of, it's all about grafting the grafted plants. We have
People break arms of others to get in the line when they know there's grafted.
Yeah, and there's not that many of them. That's the problem because it's such a tedious you know, like I've tried it once and I'm hopeless. So you have to have a very steady hand.
So what time would you advise people to get down there and still have a good chance?
Well, it starts at 8:30. So, you know, but we've got 11,000 plants, almost 11,000 plants. So tomorrow you don't have to get there at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning. We open at 8:30. You could get there by 8 or later in the morning. We'll have plenty to last the whole morning. Often we don't have as many plants, like usually have about half as many.
Yeah.
That means we sell out really early. But we're hopeful we can go through till midday, which is our closing time.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
Chris, congratulations on getting it up and running and on making that tough decision last week. It was absolutely the right one. Thanks for keeping us up to date with that. Thanks. That was Chris Olney, who is president of the Friends of Kings Park. They put together their annual plant sale.
Much better than a dress sale, I reckon. Go to Kings Park. So we've been hammered by people telling me about the perennial coriander. We've even had a guy from Tom who's listening in Bangkok.
Friend
of the show. Now it's Eryngium foetidum. Whether it's perennial, okay, so I would suggest it would last for a few years. So I don't know.
Better than a bolting coriander.
Better than a bolting coriander. It's very difficult. You only have 2 months of the whole year you can grow the annual coriander in Perth. Just goes to seed. You can grow them if you don't want them to bolt. You need to grow them in a hot house.
Just okay. Just let me tell people. Got a couple of lines free. 1-300-222-1025. But I have to read this lovely text from Alicia in Lower Chittering, who says, "Thank you, Sabby and Amber and Joe, on a Tuesday for your highly entertaining and informative show. The podcast kept me well entertained while I watched the storm at King Edward Memorial Hospital, and I'm loving being out in the garden, sunshine, postpartum, even with the tons of weeds." So Alicia has a new baby.
Oh, Alicia.
And she was at the hospital last week. Welcome to that little new soul. I'd love it if you could send us a photo and let us know what variety of new person that it is. And perhaps we could a name even and say hello from aunties.
Yes, because we are the aunties.
We are the aunties. We are your aunties.
My daughter, who's a paramedic, she delivered a baby on Sunday morning. She said it's her fourth one. She just said it is the most beautiful thing to do.
Do you know what? Yeah, of course it is. I think we're more granties. We're great aunties, hey? We're a bit old to be just aunties.
I think we're absolutely fantastically tremendous great aunties.
We are.
the greatest of the greatest aunties.
Charmin is on the phone from Franklin. Hello, Charmin.
Hi, Amber. Hi, Sabrina. How are you?
Very well. So well. Do you grow perennial coriander as well? God, I must be the only person in the entire world that has not grown perennial coriander.
Yeah, I did have it. I had it in, I got it in Queensland. I lived in southeast Queensland. And I got it from a company called All Rare Herbs.
Oh, yeah,
Mulaney.
Yep. Oh, Mulaney. Yep. Oh, God, I love Mulaney.
With me, and it's growing fine in a pot, and it looks more like a it looks like a thistle, but it doesn't grow on so much a stem. It stays quite bushy and it's quite prickly. No, it doesn't look anything like coriander.
So it is, like an eryngium. Does it have a blue sort of spiky flower as well?
I haven't seen it flower.
Right. But it tastes like coriander, yeah?
Absolutely, it tastes like it. But you sort of slice it up into little strips and it's brilliant.
Oh, that is yum.
For years.
Well, that's great. So now we know that it exists. We know it'll grow in WA and down in Perth. And it's obviously loves the tropics, but will grow down here. And I presume you just buy it from seed.
Yes.
There you go. Charmin, thanks for calling in with that. We stand fully corrected.
We do. Well, I stand fully corrected.
This is Coriander Correction Corner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beginning with Jonathan Karapetis and continuing, couple of lines free, 1-300-222-1025. Do give us a call. We love to hear from you. Marg is in Hillary's. Hi, Marg.
Hi. Hello. How are you, ladies?
Yeah, good, great. Marg.
What's your question for Sab?
I've sent three photographs. So
Of a tree.
It's a tree. What it says? What tree? Is my caption.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And then the close-up of the leaves.
Right.
Like the next.
Oh,
one.
There we go.
And then.
Yeah, oh, no, and you're then not Tim. Your name's
no,
not.
No, try
Tim.
The next one down. No, that's a pincushion hakea.
See, this is the This is the tricky thing, isn't it? Did you say? Did you say you tagged it?
I put on it on the tree photograph. The caption is "What tree?"
Right.
Yep. Liv's going to pop it over onto the thing for us.
And then, what else would you like to know once we see said picture of the tree?
The next one, the close up of the leaves. I've put "What disease?"
Right.
And then
underneath.
Okay. So that's a pitostrum.
Yeah.
And you've got the pitostrum beetle has fairly hammered it. And
very
then,
happy.
Yeah. So.
What can I do to treat it?
Well, you can actually see the beetles. Now, pitostrum beetle is a tricky one to try and control. You can spray with neem oil or pyrethrum. They come in there hundreds. You can definitely prune and get rid of the leaves. Yeah. So that would be my first go-to. It comes from New South Wales and Queensland. Can be a bit of a pest of a plant over here because of the fruit. Oh, it's a biggie, isn't it?
It's it's not huge, but it's hiding next door's roof at the moment.
So look, what I would do, Marg, is I would prune it and then dispose of the leaves, and then you can spray with a neem oil or a pyrethrum based spray.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Right. Marg, are you from Liverpool?
I am indeed. Oh, my God, you picked that up.
Yes. Love it. Very good accent. Mark, thanks for calling. 1300 22.
Thanks.
You're welcome. 1025 is the number.
Snip Go the Clippers on Roots and Shoots on 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
It is that time again.
It is.
Sabrina's musical pick of the week. Pick of the week.
I know you're going to dig this.
Here we go now.
Just panic at the disco just then.
Okay.
When we're caught by surprise, there is a flailing of arms and legs.
I know, because I do it like days before. I can't remember by the time Saturday comes along.
And she hasn't got the right specs on, and she throws her phone in the air, and she's trying to get close up to the computer screen.
Anyway, thanks. It lives in my ear. Now, so we're going to have a little bit of a mix today. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to other places in the world with the Kabusa Oriental Choir, and they're singing Soweto.
Nice. That was Kabusa Oriental Choir singing with their tune Soweto.
Be part of Roots and Shoots After 9. Only on 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
Where it is indeed after 9, and you can call Sabrina Hunt directly. It's like having a direct line to the goddess of the garden, a bog witch in particular.
Yes.
1300 221025 is the number. Lines are free. Sabrina, you have things to say.
you have
a pulpit.
I do. Now, you know, I know quite a bit about plants, and that it really perturbed me that people were saying that the perennial coriander is a true coriander. And I just thought
she specifically employ her because of her deep knowledge, and it's not.
So the coriander that we eat, or cilantro, they call it in Spain, is its genus is coriander. Okay, so if you are going to buy a coriander plant, cilantro, then you are going to get Coriandrum sativum. Mm-hmm. If you are going to buy the perennial coriander, it's not from the same family. Totally different family, totally different genus. So the perennial coriander is Eryngium foetidum.
There you go, because it's foetid.
Different, yeah, basically. Two entirely different, not coriander. But the Eryngium family, they have these beautiful blue globe flowers on them, and they're prickly. You'll spike yourself if you'd be very careful.
See, this is the thing. Like, while, you know, you are right, and they have borrowed that name because it gives people something to glom onto as to what it's going to taste like or smell like.
Yeah, and
so they've borrowed that name.
Yeah.
But technically, it's not a coriander. So
botanically,
whilst we love being mansplained too.
Like, yes.
We're going to woman-splain back every now and then, aren't we? We're going to splain you right in your face.
But it does mean to say that you can't eat it. It's like, you know, in Europe when they make a salad, they go out the backyard and they pick all the weeds. Exactly. And that's what they make a salad of. And that's what they call their spring lettuce or winter lettuce.
That's right.
So, but, you know, it's the...
It's a catch-all phrase.
It's the botanical things that I treasure most.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When one has such deep experience and one is right, one wants to say one is right.
Well, just to inform people that it's in the coriander family.
It's nuanced.
Yes.
And there is a difference. Leanne is in South Yundarup, which is not Mandurah, is it, Leanne?
No, it definitely is.
That's right. See, but you could call it Mandurah, couldn't you?
Oh, no, do not do that.
I love Yundi. North
up
and
Yundi.
Yep, North and South Yundi, absolutely beautiful.
And this morning, more beautiful than ever. And ladies, what a day to be out in the garden.
Oh, we're trapped in the studio.
I know, but don't you worry. The minute it turns on 10 o'clock, I'm out.
She's
out. Oh, well, I'll post you my address and you can come down and help me in South Yundi.
Oh, I love it down there.
What's
love
your question?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful and I'm on the river and the dolphins are jumping up and down and the birds are everywhere and I get very distracted from the garden, but I don't mind.
I could become so jealous that I hang up on you, Leanne.
Oh, no, don't do that, because then I won't find out anything about the grapefruit.
Okay, well, fire away.
Sabrina, I'm wanting to plant a grapefruit and I'm wanting to get the red, you know, the lovely pink red sort of grapefruit, the really nice sweet one.
Yeah.
And I've had a look around. There's virtually nothing available that I can find. But there's one that's sort of the skin has got a pink blush to it, but inside it's not pink.
No.
What can you recommend and where could I get one?
Well, now, the thing about the ruby grapefruit is it's a tropical grapefruit. So... if you want it to go really pink inside, you will have to take your grapefruit tree further north. So they still taste the same.
Not even the North Yundarup.
No, I think you'd have to go further north than that. But it still tastes delicious. So now, grapefruit have the ruby grapefruit in particular, because I've got it in my garden.
Yeah.
You will find that sometimes it only sort of ripens on one side of the fruit, and it's usually on the western side. So if you can get more trace elements to it, that would help it. So I would how long have you had it in the ground for?
I haven't got one. I want to get one.
Sorry, I thought you already had one. Okay.
No.
Now, you need to give it full sun where there's nothing else around it, because it has to have sun coming into the fruit so the fruit ripens. You've got that?
Okay. Spot for it as far as that's concerned.
Yep. Now, there is in one of the Perth nurseries, there is they specialise in citrus. So there is a Perth nursery that you'll have to Google citrus grower Perth, and he definitely does the ruby grapefruit. There's two nurseries actually. One of them, which is one of the premier
I think I know
nurseries?
What the ones you're talking about.
Yeah.
I've had a bit of a look at who's around and who's doing what.
So they will grow it, and they grow it on a good root stock for Western Australia.
And so what grapefruit is that?
The ruby grapefruit.
Okay, that's the ruby.
Yeah.
I've seen one called Flame. Is that
Flame is a hybrid. It takes a little bit longer to fruit. The fruit is a bit smaller. The ruby grapefruit, I reckon, has a better flavour. It's it's sweeter than Flame. Have you got room? Put both in.
No, I've only got room for.
Okay.
I'm, I'm very tempted to do that, but I know it's not a good idea ultimately.
So you can put either or, the ruby grapefruit or the flame grapefruit.
Right. And the flame, what I saw about the flame is that it's a dwarf grapefruit that only grows to 2 metres or something.
Yeah.
Whereas some of the others grow to 8 metres.
Yeah, so grapefruit's a very large tree. But you can get, so that's on dwarf rootstock now. I found with the dwarf rootstock, that's why the fruit is smaller, they're slower growing, they get more problems with disease, they're not as hardy. Yeah. You can get the ruby grapefruit on semi-dwarf rootstock.
Right.
Which does better in our sandy soil.
Okay.
Right.
Good with that. Are you still going there, Leanne?
No, well, I was just going to say, so your top recommendation would be the ruby grapefruit and maybe on semi-dwarf stalk?
Definitely on semi-dwarf root stalk, yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
That's lovely. Okay.
Thanks, Leanne.
Down in the yonders, wander down yonders.
Down.
Now, our baby, our chittering baby, I think Sophie might be the... Sophie's in the pram in the veggie garden yesterday with one of her big sisters, Olivia, helping, who's now chanting the word coriander each time you mention it. So I'm very glad we've created a bit of chaos there for your children. Sam and Gero have sent through a pic of the boys. We haven't heard from him for a while. And he says both are growing like weeds in my garden at the moment. And then one
beautiful.
More photo off in the garden with the coffee of a tiny, tiny baby.
Newborn baby.
I'm not sure which one's our chittering baby, but it's okay. I understand. You don't have to tell us the name. I'm overly zealous about these things and they must remain private while I, you know, try and understand how the perils of social media and media, which is where we work, not in social media.
Mm.
People are continuing to mansplain.
Oh, okay.
And now they're using AI.
Oh, is this the coriander again?
Yeah, I'm not even going to mention it because it's like if you had to go to AI to find the information that Sabrina Hunt already had in her organic intelligence.
Yeah.
Dave, Diggy. Hello, Diggers. Diggy in
Digby.
It is. Sabrina, I'm mixed up my ambition and my ability. You know, I bought a ginger plant between Cozenup and Manjimup.
Yeah.
And it's been going fine through summer and autumn, and I'm looking at it now and working out whether I should pot it off and put it on the veranda or build a frost-free cloche around it.
Ah, why don't you build a frost-free enclosure? That's far more exciting and interesting. And I want to see it. So first of all, plan it out. Plan it out. You've got to draw an illustration first, Digby. So get some, you know, graph paper and some, get some nice scale, two-scale ruler. Work out what you're going to use for your... Do you know, I find bubble wrap is really good.
Yeah, well, there I was going with a couple of steel posts and some bubble wrap.
Yep, that's a go. I reckon you're going to have a lot more success doing that. So it's still in a pot or it's in the ground?
No, it's been planted out. It's got some root matter down there that I should harvest, which I've never done before.
Yeah, well, don't do it now. The wrong time of the year. I would. Now, do you get frost there?
Oh, look, we're on the hill. It will get cold. It won't. It's unusual to get icy where we are, but it can do it.
Okay. So... now, if it gets frost, it's bang, bang. If you don't get frost and you put a little, you know, a little cozy tent around it, it'll die down to nothing, of course. Well, to the rhizome, I should say. And then in spring, it will reshoot. I reckon you are better off with putting a nice cozy little warm tent around it.
I'll do that. Thank you.
And then, Digby, I want you to ring us up about mid-spring and let us know how your ginger plant went.
Also, excellent. Digby, do you know the thorns, Wall and Jeff?
I do.
Say g'day from me to thorns. Have a lovely day, Digby, and thank you for being honest about your capabilities. That's really enjoyed it. Say hi to Wall and Jeff.
Good on you.
See ya. And Adam is in Denmark. Hello, Adam.
G'day, ladies. Calling from Denmark. We've got a little Japanese tea shop down here, and our flagship plant out the front is a Camellia sinensis tea plant,
yes.
Cultivar Okuhi curry, which a lovely lady in Manchima let me dig up from her farm.
Oh, how wonderful.
It's in a pot.
Yeah.
And it only gets afternoon sun, but all the leaves look like they've been scorched. I've had it for years.
Yeah.
It's sort of never really flourished. And half the leaves are all, the tips are all brown. I don't understand why, and I'd like a bit of help.
What was it like in the garden that it came from? Did it have brown tips on it then or not?
No, they're all doing fine and they were in full sun.
Yeah. I reckon it's going to need more sun. And I think that if you're going to grow it in a pot, you can't just use potting mix, Adam. You've got to mix in some compost in with that and some cow poo.
Right.
Just to give it more oomph. Like the potting mix, it just doesn't have enough. Just physically, it's not the right makeup for the tea plant. So.
Children out of it, off little offshoots, and they're all struggling
too. Are they?
Did you get
any
of that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Just more nutrients in.
Yeah, so definitely trace elements.
Are you okay?
Did you fall off a roof or something?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, sorry. Good. What happened?
Yes, I think my gizmo switched over accidentally.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that it has a lot of children in little pots and they're all struggling as well. So I guess you're saying they just need more nutrients.
Yeah, and also warm. They don't like the cold weather, Adam. The tea camellia doesn't like our dry, cold weather. If it's a bit humid, it's better. So you need the physical structure of the soil. If you only use potting mix, there's just not enough in it for the tea plant.
Yep.
Needs to be slightly acidic soil, so you can get camellia azalea stuff. You can mix some compost in it, just a small amount of poo. You need to give them trace elements. In Margaret River, there is a company that makes the most amazing liquids for your garden. I would be drenching it with that. So if you Google liquid fertilizers, Margaret River, they'll come up, and I would definitely be doing drenching once every 3 weeks for your tea plants, and I think you'll find that will really spur them on.
Nice. Right. There you go. Good luck with that, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
Audrey is in Carrigullen. Hi, Audrey.
Oh, hi. Hi, Sabrina. Hi, Amber. A dear friend has given me a curly willow sapling.
I
don't know where she got it from.
Doesn't matter. We won't even ask. So, they call it the tortured willow. It's extraordinary.
Yeah. Given that we have a lot of Mary and a lot of Jarrah trees on our block.
Yep.
I'm just wondering, and also given that there's quite a few dead ones too, so I'm just wondering if the water is an issue with a curly willow.
It does need water. It is a true willow, so it will need water.
Yeah, yeah. But I was wondering how invasive and is it going to take too much water or?
Well, that's why you see willows along rivers, because they will suck up as much water as they possibly can. But the root system isn't very deep, but it's wide, because they'll go searching for water. I think I love willows. And, as a kid, we used to make everything out of willows, especially bows and arrows, the bow.
Wow. Okay.
But we used to build the most amazing structures, cubby houses and fence lines. Willow is the most beautiful thing to weave.
Mm.
We do baskets and all sorts of things. I made a hat once out of the willow.
You made a wreath.
Yeah, wreaths are really good, Christmas wreaths.
My friend who actually gave it to me does make a lot of baskets. And
there
wreaths,
you go. So if you put it somewhere where it's not going to be a pest, then it's fine.
It's fine. Okay. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Audrey. Good luck
with
that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, I know people are now going to ring and go, why is she telling people that they put an invasive weed in? The tortured willow is nowhere near as invasive as the willow.
It's the willow.
And not the wind in the willow.
And not the surfer Willow Hardy.
No.
She's not invasive at all.
No.
This plant here, I got this for Mother's Day from my son. What is it? Can I pot it? And what conditions does it like? Says D in Scarborough.
Ooh, oh, that is the tuberous begonia.
Begonia hardy.
Yeah. So, yes, you can pot that up. Now, I have to tell you that, like the tropics, they don't like the cold weather. So in winter, it's going to die down to nothing, right? So you need to replant the entire pot. It's going to die down to nothing. You water it probably once every 4 to 6 weeks. Put it somewhere where you're not going to forget it, because in spring it will reemerge and then flower all summer. And so the second year you have it, it will be big enough for you to take cuttings of, but you will have to keep the cuttings in a little hothouse over their first winter. They usually last for 2 to 3 years, and that's why you have to keep taking cuttings. So tuberous begonia, once you're hooked on tuberous begonias, you're gone.
There's no going back.
There is no going back.
Oh, I love a journey like that.
So excited.
She's in rapture. It is a beautiful looking plant. Thoroughly recommend it. Is it possible to transplant a 1 meter tall Protosporum filariates into a more sunny position?
Yep.
Jack in Scrubby Creek from the Parungarungara.
So do it now. Do it. They transplant really well. Really well.
Paula is at Baker's Hill. Hi, Paula.
Hello. Good morning.
Morning, Paula.
Lovely to talk to you. I'm between Baker's Hill and Clackline.
Yep.
I'm on a rural property. I'm in a very low place that the temperatures are probably close to 5 degrees cooler.
Right.
So I've got ice 5 mornings a week throughout the winter for months and months.
Yep.
I planted a hedge along the road, which is about probably 200 metres.
Yep.
And I probably planted them too close. I think they're called Sargentii eucalyptus.
Okay. It's a hedge.
And I did plant them quite close. And then I thought I'd get a little bit creative and put in King's Park Special in between.
Yeah.
But the King's Park Special went in the year after.
Yeah.
And I'm wanting to know what I can do to boost the King's Park Special, because they're not doing particularly well.
Okay. That's a big hedge, the Sargentii. It's a...
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's a windbreak,
yeah.
A viewing, like blocking the view from the street.
Okay. Fair enough. Now, King's Park Special, usually pretty tough as old boots, but... So is your soil a bit heavy there?
It is very heavy. And the other thing that I didn't mention is that I have a bore that is quite salty. And for the first 2 years that they were in, I did water them as little as I possibly could because of the salt.
Yeah. Okay. So if you drip feed them, that is better than... overhead watering because of the salt. You can make a little moat around them, Paula. I would get some slow-release native fertilizer, some compost, and if you've got anyone that's got any sheep poo, you're going to put that on pretty thick around the base of the King's Park Special with the fertilizer. You might even need to mix a bit of gypsum into the top layer of the soil. I mean, once the root system of the King's Park Special, that Callistemon, gets bigger, then you'll find they'll take off. So it's just a matter of getting the root development happening.
Okay.
So
I've been putting a little bit of native fertilizer on, but I've been really worried about overdoing it.
Yeah.
And I have a wonderful local company that does sheep poo, so I can
Great.
Get that.
Yeah. So I would be doing all that and then see how they go over the... You'll find the first few years they're a bit slow and then they'll take off.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So do all that and you should get a win-win out of that.
Thanks, Paula.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Paula.
Clive in Hilton has a couple of photos of a ruscus branch in some water and it has some tiny shoots coming out of the leaves. Can he propagate it from those?
Now, the ruscus plant is, the florists love it. So what happens is the next leaf comes out of this tiny little baby leaf that comes out of the leaf. They're the most extraordinary-looking plant, and you never see them for sale anymore, but florists use them all the time. And, yes, you can grow the ruscus from the baby leaf on the leaf.
How do you do that then?
Well, you can either just take a cutting of the whole leaf where there's four or five leaves and stick it in water and it'll root and then you pot it out. Or you pluck the leaflet off the leaf and you grow that, but it has to be in a vermiculite seed-raising mix until it develops its own roots and off it goes.
We have ruscus at our house.
Do you?
Love that. He's always putting it in. Are they
beautiful?
It just lasts for months.
Yeah. That's why florists love it. It's awesome.
Extraordinary thing. Can we please remind listeners to turn off their reticulation? I've seen lots on morning walks. Thank you for that, Catherine. Reminder from Catherine, turn off your retic.
Yep.
What else have we got here?
We've got beautiful children. And someone in Bridgetown wants to know the best time to prune roses. Now, Bridgetown, do not prune your roses in June or July. Wait until the beginning of August.
Excellent. Our grevilleas are not flowering profusely as we've seen in other gardens. Not sure what we're doing wrong. They're north-facing but do not get full sun all day, says Graham.
Graham, I would give them some native fertiliser and just check the pH of your soil.
Okay. Hi, this stick is actually an orange tree. Should I tear it out and throw it away? I've tried liquid trace elements and
can
adding.
Can you show me the picture?
I'll show you the picture. It's a broom.
It is literally a stick with a very weak gourd.
It's green, though.
And it's right near a Lamandra. You need to dig that up, my friend, and put it somewhere else. A pot. Dig it up, put it in a pot and see if you can get it looking a little bit more than a half-dead stick. If it does not come good by spring, out it goes.
Should I prune my pomegranate now?
Yes, you should prune your pomegranate.
Someone sent a photograph of their wrapped capsicums and eggplants as recommended. And I just
look at them.
We've got the bubble wrap looking here. So that's a thing that you can do.
And they're going gangbusters. Look at them.
Absolutely gangbusters. I don't know if I love looking at bubble wrap in my garden.
Doesn't matter, though. You get to extend the season of your tomatoes and chilies.
Oh, look. And isn't that very pretty.
They're the Pope's cap chili.
Oh,
got the little Pope's hat.
Deadly.
Oh, it's been fun, Amber.
It has been fun, Sabrina Hahn. We will be back for Roots and Shoots next Saturday. Thank you for joining us for this edition. We love chatting to you on the show. It's 9 o'clock, time for sport after the news. See you later.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Saturdays from 9 o'clock.
Head to abc.net.au/Perth.
Or listen on your radio to ABC Perth on DAB Plus or 720 AM.
You can text your questions in on 0437 922 720.
Call us in the studio on 1300 222 720. Roots and Shoots will be back midweek to answer more of your gardening questions. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating.
And share the episode with all your friends.